Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. We continue our conversation with Antoine Wilson. He is the chancellor of the D.C. Public School System. He's answering our questions and yours. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Angela, calling from Southeast. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Chancellor Wilson. I'm a proud parent of Ward 7 Elementary School, Randall Highlands, and welcome aboard.
Thank you.
My question is regarding just in communication in general and kind of where things are going with the extended school year. One of the things that I kind of left the end of the school year kind of troubled by is that the school calendar was changed for us in April. But I wasn't notified until almost June. So, you know, in preparation and planning for the summer, which originally we thought our kids were only going to be out a little less than 3 weeks or 2 weeks. And by that point, there's really not much you can do. And we're still having some challenges just in general because information is very segmented within D.C. public schools. You have to go to so many different sites, make so many different phone calls and emails, and when you, by the time you do find out, it's word of mouth or it's too late. Do you have any ideas on how to kind of resolve that where we can do like a one-stop shop? It's not like robocall, papers home, or looking at the school website, because I'm on everything I can and I still get information late.
Yeah, thank you for your question. What I will say is it is extremely important to us that we have accurate, timely communication to our families. On the extended year piece with the calendar, I think a lot of the work that was happening was to try to give an opportunity for our educators to get some feedback on how to make the calendar more accessible and to also try to prevent fatigue in our schools. And so I think a big part of the work going forward is to just to make sure that we can extend the school year, but also have a means to incorporate the feedback into the calendar that we get from our educators and then also our families in those schools. And so we'll make sure that process is all happening well before summer comes around. We want to make sure that we're well in front of that. We do have plans, and I will hope that you'll join us at Ron Brown College Preparatory Academy on September 9th. We launch our strategic plan, and in that we will be talking about the importance of communication. It will be an area of emphasis of us, and we want to make a better use of our technology. So that's going to include things that we can push out to families in terms of information, but also how we can make better use of technology, whether it be our district website or positioning our schools to use technology to communicate with parents better in a more timely way.
Angela, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Karima, calling from D.C. Karima, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Good evening to the both of you.
How are you?
I am a clinical psychologist in D.C. I've been working in D.C. schools for over 10 years, predominantly in Wards 7 and 8, so east of the river. And clearly, as many of us know, there are so many social-emotional barriers that impact academic learning. And I'm curious, Chancellor Wilson, what are your thoughts regarding school mental health? And is there anything in the works with regard to the school mental health movement and pushing that forward and getting that in every school in the district?
Yeah, thank you for the question. Yeah, it is extremely important to me that we are about educating the whole child. What that simply means is that we're paying attention to students' social, emotional, physical well-being as we are educating their minds. And so one part of that is of that continuum is to make sure that there is access available for mental health support. And so that is an area of focus for me. It's also an area of focus for our mayor as well. And so we're going to do everything we can to expand mental health supports over the next several years to all of our schools. And we just believe it needs to be available for our students. And we all benefit in some way from making sure that those supports are available for students. And as you know, sometimes adults as well. And so it is an area of interest and something we intend to get done.
Is there something in the strategic plan that you just mentioned that will at least begin to address some of the issues of mental health in the school system?
Yeah, the way we talk about it is related to meeting the needs of specific groups of students. And so, yes, we talk about it in our strategic plan. We're going to talk about it in terms of social-emotional well-being. Specifically, we call that out. And then we then talk about some things we want to do that meets the needs of specific students who we know need more of our attention, more of our support. And so, we believe that the social-emotional aspects of education is something that benefits all of us, all of our students, and it'll be prioritized in our next plan.
Karima, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to the Chancellor of the D.C. Public School System, Antoine Wilson. Let me go to Daryl. Daryl, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. Hi, Mr. Fisher and Chancellor.
How are you?
I have more of a concern. My concern is with the number of Maryland and Virginia students that are attending the public and charter schools in Washington, D.C. What are some of the efforts that are being made to keep the D.C. residents able to attend schools? Because I know that there were a lot of waiting lists amongst the charter schools. And being a parent, you know, I drop my kids off every day, pick them up, and I've noticed and seen a large number of Maryland state tags and Virginia state tags on some of the parents' vehicles that are picking the students up. So what are some of the things that are being done to prevent this?
Yeah, thank you. I think that the question speaks to two things. One is that we have schools in the district that are doing well and continuing to improve. And in DCPS, across a number of indicators, our schools are improving. We mentioned Park, but also graduation rate, student satisfaction, enrollment in our schools is up. And so we continue to see improvements across a number of different indicators. And when that happens, students who are in adjacent jurisdictions will, and their families will try to get their students in our schools. We take it very seriously. So when we see incidents where we believe that it may be residency fraud and all of that, while we understand the desire to try to get families have to try to get their students in good schools, we investigate every one of them. And then when we find that there's an issue, then we address it so that we ensure that we have spaces available for students who are D.C. residents. So, I would just say that where those issues come about, we look into it. And so talking with the school leadership there, they'll follow up with us. And
how is that kind of thing addressed? So if I'm a kid, if I'm in 10th grade and I live in either Prince George's or Montgomery or Fairfax County or wherever, and my parents put me in a D.C. public school because they happen to like the program there, am I kicked out? I mean, because it's not my fault, it's my parents' fault. So how was that addressed?
Well, I will just say that it's delicate, but at the same time, it is a situation where, and we recognize that it is adults and families, but as was the caller just mentioned, we also recognize that, we have schools at capacity. If you're taking the seat from a D.C. resident, that we're going to have to rectify that in the long run, and sometimes in the short run. So yeah, is it going to lead to the student being asked to return back to their school? Yeah, it could. Into that, it's also there's an enrollment, it's tuition. For out-of-state residents, and there's a process to go through. And in our schools that are highly competitive, it's impossible to get in because those seats are all going to be filled by D.C. residents.
Interesting. Daryl, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to go back to the Park tests for just a moment. Again, you know, congratulations on those numbers. But when we kind of peel back the layers and we're talking about some of the numbers citywide, African-American students are still at the bottom of that totem pole. What are your thoughts about pulling up their numbers?
Thank you. Well, you know, in highlighting our scores today, we talked about the fact that our scores are up across all groups. And in comparison to the state averages across the Park states, our African-American improvement students are improving greater than African-American students in just about any other jurisdiction taking the assessment. That being the case, it's still less than other groups of students that we have that also beat their counterparts in other states as well. So how I think about it is that it requires us to really focus on the needs of individual students, to look at the data and recognize that some students are going to need more of our time. They're going to need more resources. Their teachers are going to need greater support. We're going to need to think about how we ensure programs that we know have been paying off, the district has been investing in, such as home visits. We have several schools that engage in home visits with families, building relationship with families and partnering with them in their children's education. We know that's working in several schools. We need to do more of that. We know that there are strategies that encourage efforts to create diversity in our schools. We want to make sure that we are supporting those efforts, tutoring programs to support students who might need additional support, which is most students need additional support. And when they're doing challenging work, we need to make sure that those are available to our students and in the places where their families may not be able to afford private tutoring. So there are strategies that we can engage in that'll make a difference, and that's what we're going to be focused on. And so one of the things that I'm really excited about is we roll out some additional supports for our students, and we got some additional funding. Some of that funding is being rolled out strictly based on supporting schools that have higher percentages of students who scored level 1 and level 2 on PARC, which is the furthest away from the college readiness standards. So schools that have higher percentage of those students get more dollars to come up with plans to provide support specifically to those students. Now, that's important. We know we can make a difference when we focus on students who are furthest away, because while we were celebrating the improvements on the PARC for students who scored 4s and 5s, what we also highlighted is that we saw a significant reduction in the percentage of students scoring 1 and 2. And that's important because that's going to go a long ways in terms of boosting up the performance of our African-American students, because unfortunately our African-American students were overrepresented in that group of students. So we wanted to give additional dollars to schools that had higher percentages of students scoring lower so that they can bring in some programs, whether it be tutoring or other support programs that they believe will make a difference.
Speaking of tests, and this isn't so much about the PARC test as it is testing in general. As you know, I'm sure you've heard that there are some major colleges and universities that are putting less emphasis on standardized testing for admissions and putting a more holistic focus on entry into college. What do you think about that for public schools and how they need to address that as they're, you know, when you get to 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, because that's when a lot of parents, a lot of students really start thinking about going to college.
Yeah, so what I would say is that I think it's important that we are looking at a number of different indicators of student success. So we look at student growth, and the degree to which students, how much progress have students made from the beginning of the year to end of year. If I were a parent, that would be something I'd pay attention to as much more than anything else. You know, is my student growing at least a year in 1 year's time? And if they started a year behind, are they growing a year and a half to 2 years in a year's time? That information is very important information. I would look at the types of classes students take. Are they taking the most rigorous courses that are available and challenging themselves? And if so, and the students that were exposed to one of those courses next year, maybe they should take two of those courses. So I'd be looking at that. I'd be looking at the degree to which my student was volunteering and engaging in community service and getting in deeply involved in something or an extracurricular, co-curricular activity. So extracurricular, the sports that we are accustomed to, but co-curricular activities, speech, debate, music, drama, those things that we know make a difference, but also provide students opportunities to increase their skills and benefits at the success in core courses that also have opportunities for kids after school as well as during the school day. So I think all of those things matter. Last thing I would say is this. I'm really glad that there are colleges that are emphasizing more than just assessment, because we know that there are benefits that come with privilege. And what we are trying to do as a school system is to negate those benefits and make sure that as much as possible that success is not dictated by where you live and your family income and race. But we know that in order to do that, it's going to take a real concentrated effort to focus on equity.
I need to take a break. When we come back, more conversations with Antoine Wilson, the chancellor of the D.C. Public School System. Lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a bit.